Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Adler Optical Networking for the full year 2021 IFRS financial results. This call is being recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty seeing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. And now hand over to Mr. Stephen Williams, Adler Optical Networking's Director of Finance and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Judith. And welcome to Adler's Q4 and full year 2021 financial results conference call. In addition to this call and the press release, we have posted a presentation which is available for download from our homepage, adler.com. On the conference call page in the financial results section of the About Us / Investor section. Before turning the call over to Brian, please be reminded that this presentation contains forward-looking statements with words such as believes, anticipates, and expects to describe expected revenues and earnings, anticipated demand for networking solutions, internal estimates, and liquidity. These factors are discussed in greater detail in the Risk and Opportunity Report section of our Annual Report 2021. Please also be reminded that we provide consolidated pro forma financial results in this presentation solely as supplemental financial information to help the financial community make meaningful comparisons of our operating results from one financial period to another. This pro forma information is not prepared in accordance with IFRS and should not be considered a substitute for historical information presented in accordance with IFRS. Pro forma operating EBIT is calculated prior to non-cash charges related to the stock compensation programs and amortization and impairment of goodwill and acquisition-related intangible assets. Additionally, expenses related to M&A and restructuring measures are not included. Unless stated otherwise, all numbers are presented in euro. We will target to limit this conference call to 60 minutes. As usual, Brian will start this call providing a business update. Then, Uli will guide us through our Q4 and full year 2021 financials and outlook. And finally, we will have sufficient time for your questions, which we'll be happy to answer. And with that, I turn the call over to Brian. Go ahead.
Thank you, Stephen. Starting with our standard procedure, we move to page number 4, Q4 and full year 2021 highlights. It is with pride that we look back on a successful Q4 and fiscal 2021. Despite ongoing challenges due to the COVID pandemic, the semiconductor crisis, and supply chain bottlenecks, we delivered excellent results. We met all our targets and even exceeded them in many areas. Thanks to the continued strong customer demand and great efforts in purchasing, manufacturing, and logistics, we were able to further increase our revenues and achieve the most profitable fiscal year in our 27-year history. Q4 revenues were up 12.2% compared to the year-ago quarter and reached €157.7 million. Annual revenues were up 6.8% year-over-year, reaching an all-time high of €603.3 million. Our pro forma operating income reached 9.1% of revenues in Q4 2021 and was up 61.5% for the full year 2021. Our Net Promoter Score, the performance indicator which we use to measure customer satisfaction, was at a very positive 48%. Net cash increased by $61.7 million year over year. Thus, we've further expanded our liquidity cushion and, excitingly, we are starting the 2022 fiscal year with a record order backlog. Page number 5, business transformation update. For several quarters, the macroeconomic environment has brought us encouraging growth in customer demand, while at the same time presenting us with major supply chain challenges, This tension will continue in 2022. Against this backdrop, we've continued to work diligently to execute our business transformation strategy, and things are going well. At the beginning of the fiscal year 2021, we presented our strategy for sustainably increasing the margins of our business model to the financial community at our Digital Capital Markets Day. The plan is essentially based on three pillars. First, disproportionate growth in private and security-relevant networks outside the traditional network operator infrastructure. We have been winning new customers outside the telco community in verticals such as transportation, medical, and research and education. The slide shows several of the wins we announced since our last earnings call in October 2021. Second, we focus on increasing revenue contributions from software and services. In 2020, we went from 20% to 23%. Last year, we increased the contribution further to 25%. We keep expanding our capabilities in this space and recently launched a new software product. Our Ensemble Simulator enables customers to perform full end-to-end network testing in a virtual environment, saving time and money for CapEx-intense hardware test beds. And third, we are driving the development of new markets while simultaneously achieving cost optimization through verticalization activities. Our Micromax family of pluggable transceivers is selling well, and we will announce new members of this product family later this quarter, and in fact, within the next few weeks at the OFC. Overall, the results we've achieved in the past year clearly demonstrate the strength of these strategic cornerstones and show the success we had in implementing them. Page number six, unprecedented market opportunity at the edge. While we are executing very well in our vision and strategy, we also see an unprecedented set of positive macro trends that are supporting our business. Digitization continues to move center stage in politics and business. High-performance network infrastructure is now regarded as the backbone of an increasingly digitized society and has greatly increased in importance and value over the last few years. The resulting high demand for communication technology is currently being further reinforced by numerous government stimulus and funding programs in many countries around the world. In the USA, many billions of US dollars will be made available over the next few years for network expansion, especially underserved and rural areas as part of the infrastructure bill, Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, and American Rescue Plan Act programs. The UK has announced more than £25 billion of private and government funding for accelerated network expansion. And across the EU, government support programs totaling €30 million have been launched. Many programs in Western countries will predominantly benefit Western suppliers. And the focus of investment will be in the network access sector through to metro networks due to the universal right for information access within every home. Technology capabilities stemming from 5G, packet optical integration, miniaturization, and next-gen PON fiber access creates an opportunity where ADFA is extremely well-positioned within the network edge. We will further strengthen our market position through the merger with Adtran. With almost $250 million of combined R&D spending focus on the converged edge, you will see market-impacting innovation driving our growth. Page seven, more specifically, our vision for the converged edge. In order to break down our mutual vision a bit more, we grouped a number of the areas accordingly. We will empower service providers to benefit from seamless service creation, regardless of customer type and application. This includes residential, work from home and business services, as well as assured wholesale. XHAUL for mobile operators, and Edge Cloud Services. Former homogeneous, single-purpose, parallel network architectures will evolve into a more unified access infrastructure, including various first-mile technologies and on-premise solutions such as multi-generation PON with mesh Wi-Fi 6 capabilities, combined with second-mile technologies including packet, OTN, and edge compute solutions with outdoor hardened optical products covering industrial temperature ranges. Our programmable open optical line systems, in combination with packet optical terminals and pluggable optics, provide a wonderful set of building blocks to create a lean and cost-efficient edge transport solution that provides operators with the scale they need to handle the soaring bandwidth demand. All this is wrapped in an end-to-end security envelope with low latency, multi-layer networking encryption solutions. And last but not least, we all know that the world needs better timing. With our OscilloQuartz technology, we provide assured precision timing for communication networks and critical infrastructure enabling 5G, open and disaggregated networks, assured PNT, and many critical technologies which are changing our world. When you take all these modules and modular building blocks, built on a philosophy that embraces open, disaggregated, and cloud-native concepts, and put them under an end-to-end orchestration umbrella with software as a service, you have the most comprehensive solution set for the industry's most interesting market space. We are convinced that this strategic business combination will permanently change the competitive landscape in our industry. And moving to my last slide, page number 8, the combined ADTRAN-ADFA is strongly positioned to capitalize on momentum in the converged edge. Per my comments on the previous slide, ADTRAN and ADFA share a common vision about what it takes to win at the edge. Jointly, we can further accelerate our momentum and capitalize on the following three aspects. First of all, we expect significant cross-selling opportunities. Complementary geographic focus with ADFA's strong EMEA presence and ADFA's strong U.S. presence will help. We will also gain strategic vendor status with certain carrier relationships due to our size and strength of our balance sheet, which will create new opportunities, and our comprehensive solution portfolio will increase win rates. The potential annual revenue synergies are in the range of $60 to $120 million. Secondly, we will have increased scale to accelerate R&D innovation. The merger enhances scale and improves ability to compete against other fiber networking vendors. We will also be able to achieve real optimization, which is to be expected with the combination of R&D processes. And we will have a greater ability to focus on software, virtualization, and monetization. Not to be repetitive, but a combined R&D spend of nearly $250 million for the converged edge gives us a significant innovation power even when compared with some of the other larger players like Nokia. Thirdly, there will be some operational efficiencies from well-defined cost synergies. These include significant supply chain efficiencies and optimization of our new operating model with improved profitability. We have quantified approximately $52 million of annual cost synergies, which should be reached within 2 years after the closing. And finally, almost two-thirds of the existing voting shares for ADFA have agreed to the exchange offer, and we look forward to a common future with much optimism and enthusiasm. Currently, we are still working with the government authorities on open questions regarding the foreign direct investment approvals and are confident of receiving the necessary support. With that, I hand it over to Uli.
Thank you, Brian. Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us on our Q4 and full year 2021 conference call. I will start reviewing our results for Q4 and the financial year 2021, followed by our outlook for 2022. Then I will provide a brief update on the ongoing merger process with Atran. As always, all numbers are presented in euros. Now let's move to my first slide, financial year 2021 at a glance. 2021 was a record year for revenues, profitability, and cash generation. Despite the ongoing challenges caused by the pandemic, as well as global supply bottlenecks and semiconductor shortages, we managed to grow our top line in the mid-single-digit percentage range. We closed the year with revenues of 603.3 million euros, up 6.8% from 565 million a year ago. Revenues were at the upper end of our guidance corridor of between 580 and 610 million euros. Demand continued to be strong throughout 2021 and resulted in a record level order backlog at the end of the year. Our pro forma EBIT was 9.1% of revenues of 54.6 million euros and increased by 3.1 percentage points compared to 6% or 33.8 million we have seen in 2020. This result was at the upper end of our guidance corridor of between 7 and 10% of revenues. Despite increased purchasing costs that started to impact our gross margins, particularly in the second half of the year, we achieved the highest full-year profitability in our history. These results were strongly supported by the continued execution of our business transformation strategy and strict cost control. New applications outside the CSP segment set the stage for a more favorable customer and product mix, and we were also able to increase our software and service revenue contribution from 23 to 25%. Cash generation in 2021 was very strong. We were able to turn a net debt position of 25.5 million euros into a net cash position of 36.2 million. We prepaid 15 million of our outstanding debt, while we were still able to increase our gross cash position from 65 million in 2020 to 109 million euros in 2021. Now let's take a deeper look into Q4. Slide 11. Revenues in Q4 2021 reached 157.7 million euros, up by 12.2% from 140.6 million in the year-ago quarter. Similar to Q2 and Q3, our Q4 revenues were heavily impacted by supply challenges. Once again, we had to defer shipments with a volume of more than 20 million euros into a following quarter. However, we still managed to grow both quarter over quarter and year over year. Growth in Q4 was predominantly driven by an uptick in demand from CSPs, particularly in the cloud access solution area. Higher purchasing costs due to the silicon shortage had a significant impact on our gross margins and increased our COGS by a substantial amount in Q4 2021. Consequently, gross margins were down by 3.3 percentage points. However, we were still able to increase gross profit slightly by 2.6% compared to the year-ago quarter. We also continued our strict OPEX discipline and were able to achieve a pro forma EBIT of 9.1% of revenues. This is a decrease of 1.1 percentage points when compared to the record Q4 we have seen in 2020. However, an impressive result considering all of the macroeconomic circumstances we are currently facing. Net income reached 17.5 million euros, significantly up from 13.2 million in the year-ago quarter. Apart from the strong EBIT contribution, this is mainly attributable to a tax benefit of 5.2 million euros. The standalone profitability of Adva SE enables us to use past losses for activation of a deferred tax asset under IFRS. We saw a similar effect already in Q3 2021. Diluted earnings per share increased from 26 cents in Q4 2020 to 34 cents in Q4 2021. As mentioned earlier, cash generation and deleveraging was once again outstanding, and we improved our net debt by over 60 million compared to Q4 2020, and now report a net cash position of 36.2 million euros. Next slide, please. Slide 12. As explained in the past, we added this slide for the purpose of transparency and to provide our analysts and investors an enhanced comparison since most of our peers report their numbers in US GAAP. Please note, the US GAAP numbers here have not been audited. The main differences between the two standards are due to the capitalization and amortization of R&D under IFRS. The R&D amortization leads to higher COGS, and for Q4, the resulting difference in gross margin is 7.1 percentage points. The R&D capitalization, on the other hand, leads to lower R&D OPEX. Positive impact from R&D capitalization was 0.2 percentage points, and thus pro forma EBIT margin under IFRS was 9.1% compared to 8.9% under US GAAP. Slide 13, regional revenue development Q4 and 2021. EMEA Q4 revenues increased by 15.8% year over year, now representing 63.8% of revenues and 63.2% respectively for the full year. 2021 growth of 23.5% was mainly driven by CSP and enterprise customers. In the Americas, Q4 revenues increased slightly by 1.2% year over year, now representing 25% of revenues. However, full year revenues were down by 17.6% compared to 2020, mainly due to delays of shipments based on the difficult supply situation. Compared to the year-ago quarter, Asia-Pacific increased significantly by 20.1% and now represents 11.2% of Q4 revenues or 9.3% of the full year 2021 revenues. Growth in Q4 was predominantly driven by strong demand from customers in Japan and Australia. Moving to the next slide, slide 14, cash flow and balance sheet. Cash flow generation was outstanding. Operating cash flow for the full year increased by 26 million euros and free cash flow improved by 20.1 million euros. This is mainly explained by high profitability when compared to the previous year. Our strong cash flow generation resulted in record cash levels of 109 million euros, up by around 44 million year over year. With a debt leverage ratio of 0.4 times EBITDA and an equity ratio of 56.5%, we have a very solid capital structure and further improved our investment grade credit metrics. 2021 ROSI was 11.7% and reflects our commitment to deliver shareholder value. Slide 15, outlook. Our business transformation strategy will remain one of our key focus areas also in 2022. From a demand perspective, the macro environment is expected to stay very positive for ADVA. Communications infrastructure is a valuable asset with a growing focus on security aspects. In many industrialized nations of the Western world, the dependence on large Chinese network equipment suppliers is perceived as a serious threat. After the US, the affected network operators in Europe are now also working on concepts for reducing this dependency, which leads to significant opportunities for us. Our technological setup is well prepared for the transformation of networks with respect to cloud, mobility, 5G, automation, and security. In addition to the high-quality performance features of optical data transmission, precise network synchronization technology, and programmable cloud access solution. And our broad service portfolio also provides increasing value for our customers. The global semiconductor crisis, however, will continue to keep us extremely busy also in 2022, and supply and financial risks will remain. And with respect to the COVID-19 pandemic, it remains to be seen whether the impact of the crisis will lessen over the course of the year. In our 20-year history, we have never seen stronger demand for all of our products and services, and the before-mentioned macroeconomic environment creates unprecedented opportunities for us. Despite this positive outlook, but in light of the ongoing supply challenges, we remain cautious and guide for 2022 annual revenues of between 650 and 700 million euros and a pro forma EBIT margin of between 6 and 10%. Now to my last slide, road to business combination with Atrenne. Last but not least, I want to provide a brief update on the ongoing merger process with Atrenne. At the end of the additional acceptance period, which expired on February 14th, we ended up with a total acceptance rate of 66%. The last outstanding closing condition is the FDI approval from the German government. We are confident of receiving the necessary support and anticipate a closing within Q2 or Q3 of 2022. And with that, I would like to open the Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now starting the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. And the first question is from Robert Jan van der Horst, Warburg Research. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of those, actually. So first of all, congratulations on especially the strong cash flow and the margin you achieved. Considering that you will probably continue to succeed with your transformation strategy, I must ask why the target range for the adjusted EBIT or the pro forma EBIT margin is so low at the lower end. Do you expect a significant worsening of the procurement costs over the year, and also maybe a little bit more information on why that is? That would be very helpful. The second question is actually an update also on the transformation strategy. You already mentioned that the software and service revenues increased to, I think, 24.9%. Could you give us maybe a little bit of an update how the revenue shares of the CSPs versus verticals developed? That would also be very helpful. And the last question is on your U.S. or on the Americas business, which saw a decline, you mentioned, because of some softness with major customers. Do you have any indications how that will develop this year? That should be all for now. Thanks.
Okay.
I think I start, Brian. Unless you want to start. I mean, I'm
No,
fine.
Go for it.
So, regarding the outlook for next year, you know, if you look at slide 12, the US GAAP versus IFRS comparison, you see the massive drop in gross margin that started hitting us, you know, start in Q3, and then you can see it also in Q4. The supply shortage costs us millions, right? And our teams are scrambling day and night to secure components, expedite shipments. And it's just, you know, we don't see that this is getting any better as of now. So that's why we have to anticipate. We will continue to you know, have delayed shipments. We need to anticipate with a higher volume that maybe risk, supply risk even increase. You know, there are many critical components. We have to work in alternative components into our products and so on and so forth. So it's simply a huge, I would say, burden for all of our teams. And that's why we are very cautious with this one. We don't want to promise anything, but it's still, you know, it's still early days, and we see a huge pile of open issues and open items, critical items that need to be resolved, and that's why we remain cautious. But on the positive side, as you see also on the huge bandwidth that we provided for our top-line guidance, I think you can imagine the opportunities that we have, and if things turn to the better, I guess you can quickly see better results or maybe the range narrowing, but I think it's just too early right now to be more aggressive when it comes to our guidance. There's too many moving parts.
So adding to that comment, Uli, can I also add the comment that it's fully, I mean, as each quarter goes through, it becomes more fully loaded. The costs, the semiconductor piece, it takes some time to average in costs, et cetera. So, you know, all to what Uli said, plus the fact that probably, you know, Q1 or Q2, we see the peak of all those, that impact, and therefore we're cautious. We have, through our transformation strategy, as you pointed out, been able to help counteract that some. We do plan on increasing again in 2022 software and services. That's mostly in the software side, but adding a couple of percentage points, so that helps to offset some of those pieces. But the cost basis, it's really aggressive, and some of even this latest semiconductor cost increase have come end of the year, beginning of this year. So they're just, they've continued to hit not just us, but the industry as a whole. And I think people have to understand that probably the highest cost impact is still yet to come. And then hopefully it will, like a cliff, come back, and in the second half we'll start to recover a lot of those extra costs that we have and that we're managing very well with those costs, but clearly they're going to have impact on us in the first half of this year. So further to the transformation strategy, the enterprise business did increase by, I think, 4 percentage points almost, or around 4 percentage points of our revenue came more from the enterprise space. That also clearly helps our average margins. So that's a nice supportive step for us as well. And we do believe that our verticalization will yield more revenues this year than last year. We have very good products, very good quality feedback. We're just not able to produce enough yet. We've said that a couple times over the last quarters. It's getting better, but it's getting better linearly, and we would like a hockey stick effect here over the next few quarters. We hope that we can achieve that. And then we have some nice offsets to some of the supply chain risks that we've had. So we're working feverishly to get to the higher end of our guidance, but step by step, we need to still do some homework to make that happen. And then finally, the U.S. business, I think you mentioned, and the U.S. business, you know, haven't lost customers. And in fact, we've done well to win some new footprint recently with some of our products. We do see a lot of upside once the deal is complete with Adtran, just because of their strength there. So if you look at it as a whole, I think the U.S. is steady as it goes from a customer game. And if you look at it, it's more product mix, customer mix of ordering that has led to some weakness there. And I do believe, though, that combined with Adtran, we're going to get a lot more, let's say, political heft and breadth to be able to win more new footprint going forward.
I guess, adding to Brian, I guess it's fair to say that also, you know, some of our larger U.S. customers were overproportionately impacted by the supply shortage. So from a demand perspective, you know, a huge portion of the record level order backlog we have is actually from North America. So without a supply shortage, we would have seen stronger numbers for the region of North America.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
The next question is from Simon Scholes, First Berlin Equity Research. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got three. I'm just back on the subject of the pro forma gross margin. I mean, you just have a slight pickup in Q4, but it sounds from what you're saying that the situation is still pretty tight. So should we interpret the pickup in Q4 as just being down to more favorable customer mix? Or, I mean, do you have any additional comments there? And then the second question is, I was wondering if you could give us some idea of how much higher the backlog is was at the end of December last year compared with December 20. And then just a last question on sales and marketing. I mean, the last couple of years, because of the pandemic, sales and marketing has been between 10 and 11% of sales. And would you expect it to go back over 11% this year as the pandemic possibly eases? I mean, what are you seeing there? That's it from me.
Well,
Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
I was just going to answer the pro forma gross margin and say, yes, Q4, you know, good customer and product mix helped us clearly. And as, you know, referencing, you know, some of the costs, they continue to hit us with cost increases. The semiconductor players have not come back once, but two, sometimes even three times with cost increases. So there's a bunch of moving pieces in that question, Mark. It's not easy to answer, but I, you know, in general, I do feel yes, the cost side of thing continues to be very challenging, and you know, we're trying to offset those with our business transformation strategy, and some of that helped in Q4, but it is product mix and customer mix, and it's not something we can guarantee is a smooth transformational change in ad for quarter for quarter. It's a long term, as we pointed out with our business transformation strategy. That's a 3-year, actually even 5-year strategy shift as an organization. So lots of moving parts there. Uli, I don't know if you want to add there, or if you want to address the higher backlog or the sales and marketing question.
I can I let you address the backlog. I will just talk real quick about the sales and marketing. Yeah, we had about 10% in last year sales and marketing costs in terms of in relative to revenues. I think, you know, with the growing revenues or expected growing revenues in 2022, we should see a similar percentage of revenues. So the absolute number will go up, Simon, but I think the relative number will pretty much be the 10% or just short of 10% of revenues.
Okay. And any comments on the backlog?
Yeah, the higher backlog. I noticed that Uli didn't want to answer that one, so he's pushed it to me.
that was
sophisticated. My view is we haven't given backlogs, but it's a massive increase. I mean, we're not talking here a few percentage points. We're talking massive double-digit percentage points increase in the backlog. But since we haven't gone out there and labeled that exactly, we haven't. I don't think we plan to start that this time around, and that actually that would be the, you know, something that we'd have to take to our board and have a discussion on. So I'm sorry that I can't answer more than that, but it is a huge shift.
Okay, I get the idea. Thanks very much.
The next question on some part is the William K. Woodruff. Your line is now open.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. I had a question on the cross-selling in North America after the merger. Atran and some of their competitors are saying that the market there, the stimulus of $100 billion is less than half of the future, you know, less than half of the demand going forward. And if you were to assume that that's basically half of the demand, you're looking at a $200 billion number there. If you divide that by five, because a lot of the stimulus has to be, you know, spent over that five-year period, you're looking at a $40 billion market. Roughly 10% of that would be for access, and I think your ratio you gave me was 1-4 for the middle mile. So if you were to take that, you got a $1 billion annual market, roughly, you know, give or take. And you're looking at $120 million in cross-selling opportunities. To me, it looks as though you don't have a lot of direct competition there, and a company like a Ciena would, you know, they're not as nimble as you. So how much, I guess the question would be, how much of that market do you expect to be able to take? Because it looks like it's going to be more than $120 million. How quickly can you gear up for that as well? Yeah, especially with the relationships that Atran has, you ought to be able to make a big dent in that market. That's my
question. So I'm going to dance a little here now. So, you know, clearly I'm a little bigger picture. I mean, you know, Atran has given you guys models of what the combined organization looks like. You know, and on some slides it's a $5 billion increase in total available market, but yet very conservative on revenue planning. So if you were to, you know, answer that question from a revenue planning view, then that, you know, remember that 60 to 120 million is not even in our numbers, and the numbers look outstanding as a combined organization. So now comes the, you know, well, okay, also conservative view on the amount of cross-selling opportunities, and that's that 60 to 120 million. As you pointed out, there's a billion upside in just our technologies and a much bigger upside in Adtran's technologies. Why can't we get a much bigger part of that equation? Because we're one of the few companies that actually have both technologies. It's us and Nokia, really. Calix doesn't have the optical piece, and Ciena doesn't have the access piece. And so the combination makes us really strong with a spend, $250 million of R&D. The only one that can match us from an innovation firepower is Nokia, and of course Huawei, but they're not a competitor in any of this this opportunity. So, you know, I look at it, you know, similarly, and to say, why not a much bigger piece? Well, I guess it's always, you have to understand how the market's going to decide. How many of them are already buying products from a Ciena or a Cisco or Infinera or somebody else already? How quickly can the combined organization, you know, go after that market opportunity and share? So there's a lot of question marks around there. But bottom line is that Adtran's a well-liked supplier by many of the companies that are going to benefit strongly from the funding. And they want, most of these small carriers want fewer suppliers. And why do they want fewer suppliers? Because they don't have big teams. So they want one management platform with fewer suppliers, end-to-end architecture, and we're one of the very few that can do that. And as you point out, we are also nimble. Also, the combined organization, Adtran and ADFA, are a very nimble organization compared to most others. And therefore, I personally feel really, really good about that opportunity and leveraging that ADFA and infrastructure to do a lot more sales. But I really, you know, it's not my place to say, hey, we're going to go drive this and this amount percentage of that spend that you indicated. So thank you for pointing it out with a very pointed question. Again, I tried to dance around that a little bit and give you a full perspective, and fingers crossed that the combined organization does a hell of a lot better than what is being anticipated by any of the numbers at this point.
Okay. Dickie, and one follow-up to that. How quickly do you think you can gear up? Because I'm hearing that people are already going to Adtran, asking, you know, how to you know, get connected with you guys.
I think that goes very quickly once the deal is consummated. And we've got, as we mentioned, two-thirds of the ADFA shareholders voted. So we're through all the hurdles except for one, and that's the FDI here in Germany. And that, to me, you know, that is something that we can't control, but that's anywhere from probably, you know, 2 to 4, 3 to 6 months, somewhere in that range. And that's something that we are pushing, and we had said we feel very positive, but there's a lot of work behind that, a lot of modeling, a lot of commitments, a lot of discussion. So once we get that, I believe the next day we'll be able to leverage most of these opportunities. What you have, the advantages right then, we can kind of co-sell once that deal is you know, and co-sell meaning we can be more transparent. What we still need to be one company, one management system, one offer is a DLPTA and our domination profit and loss pooling. And that could take some period of time, or maybe not at all for that matter, depending on the next steps. So the answer is, I think the day that it closes, we can get a lot more transparent and faster at accessing those accounts. But full integration and, you know, reducing software architecture concepts, that takes some period of time still. So I think we're in, the first step is, even today we can just give a notice, there is a lead or interested in connected people, but nothing can be shared, nothing can be done together, nothing, no feedback, nothing at all. After closing, a little bit more transparency, after the domination and pooling agreement, full combined approach into those companies. So my view would be, we win a few accounts now, we start winning handfuls of accounts, once a deal's closed and we're going after all the accounts when that domination agreement, if and when the domination agreement is actually signed.
Thank you very much.
And the next question is from Tim Savageux, Northern Capital Markets. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning from me, and congratulations on the results and especially the outlook, which is kind of what I wanted to ask a couple questions about. So you're calling for a pretty significant acceleration in your growth rate at the high end, like a doubling or more of your growth rate in calendar 22, and I want to try to understand that along a couple of lines. First, you know, is there an element of supply catch-up implied in there? And just as an aside, does that impact, you know, seasonality in Q1, given the push-outs? It sounds like you expect it to continue, but is there an element of supply catch-up there, or are you, you know, to what degree are you seeing, you know, acceleration in organic growth in the end market? That's one. And then two, from a geographic perspective, you know, obviously EMEA led the way in 21 with declines in Americas. I wonder how you expect that to sort out at this point, given, you know, the backlog commentary. It sounds like you expect Americas to bounce back pretty strongly. And I'll follow up from there.
Okay. So first of all, I mean, I think, you know, in my presentation, Tim, I try to focus on separate issues, and there is more demand out there. There is more demand, but even if you have the existing same customer base, there's more demand out there, it looks like. And it's part of it is because funding's already starting to play a role, and the strategic nature of, you know, work from home, high quality services needed, you know, in a distributed fashion, changing network needs, are all things that are leading to, I think, a good environment for most players out there. So that's the one piece. The second piece is, yes, there will be some supply catch-up. I think, you know, at this point, we feel, you know, strong enough early in the year that we are going to grow in what you know, at least as fast as this year, even faster in the bottom part of our growth rate, and much more clearly in the high end. So, you know, that's a pretty strong statement to the market that we feel good, that demand is strong. Yes, we do have some supply catch up out there because of our really high backlog. And that's inferred in having a really high backlog, I think, is that we have much more kind of a good solid view to the year. Meaning also that, you know, we feel good to start the year. So all good indications of where we're at as an organization. We have, you know, some areas for growth where we're taking some market share as well. You know, if we're able to, you know, drive our software and services growth, some of our, you know, encryption and other markets, new market areas, if we continue to be able to grow those spaces, like we said, you know, 4% growth in that in 2021, those are all leading to also, you know, underlying themes that are helping us position ADFA as a company. And then finally, the U.S., we feel, again, we haven't lost anything. We've won some things. We haven't won as much as we had wanted to. Good, strong competition there as well, but we're doing well, and we think it will, you know, recover, as Uli also said, is that it was maybe a little artificially lower because just it happened that some of the logistics issues hit the customers there. That's just pure product mix issue. You know, certain products where you had more leverage in a region that then hurt a little bit more. But we feel that, you know, United States will hold its own. But EMEA's growth rates could even continue. We continue to see very good opportunity across the board, and ADFA is really well positioned as a player that's been committed to this market for the last 27 years to not only win footprint, but to build out and get mind share. And by the way, the AdTrend deal helps us even further because we become strategically important to many tier ones in Europe because they need both product ranges from us going forward. So I hope that answers your question. Anything else?
It does. And if certainly if EMEA growth rates continue over 20% as they were in 21. Your guidance looks fairly conservative. Just as an aside, and you'd mentioned record backlog in Q3 as well. The fact that that's increased to a new record, I will assume that book-to-bill was pretty positive in Q4. But, do you see customers ordering, I think we saw this with Ciena, customers ordering, farther out to get, supply chain visibility as a driver of bookings, or to what extent was it, just more indicative of the strong demand, the accelerating demand that you referenced?
So I'd like to address two issues. First of all, your comment about Europe at 20%, I think that's a little bit, I wasn't trying to make that statement, Tim, so I want to make
sure. You said it, not me, Brian.
What I said is Europe is strong and moving forward remains strong. I don't say that it stays at the same growth rate necessarily. I think, we spend a lot of time with our forecast, so let's stick with our, 650, 700 million. I think that's showing almost 16% growth as a combined organization. So again, and Europe is strong in that model. I don't want to, boil down to that 20% and leave that hanging, because it could be, somewhere less than that. U.S. catch up a little bit, but as a company, we're well positioned for the growth. Record backlog, yes. Backlog, I think, in fact, ATFO was very conservative. We had big customers coming to us and say, listen, I want to place big orders on you. We said, what does it help us? If those big orders are placed and they're standardized orders, and you come back around then and start adjusting those orders as it gets closer to delivery, it doesn't even help us plan. We are working with you. We trust you. We have very, very close relationships with our customer base. We're helping forecasting and stuff like that. So we actually push back. Other people just took those orders. I've had a number of companies in the industry took those orders. So I think we were actually very smooth, even though we were building these record backlogs. It wasn't all just based on these companies coming out there placing 12 months in advance. And we'll continue to be well positioned in orders and building backlog through the beginning of the year. So my statement would be that I guess we are working closely with our customers. We are having to take some extra orders in there. We've tried to actually educate you guys on that in prior calls, where we said, some percentage of that, and we still were over well over a 1-to-1 book to bill even when we X that out. And so I guess the question really is about demand and ordering going through this year. And I'd say that we could have continued to have a good period of ordering and backlog building, in fact, as an organization, because we've kind of pushed off and not asked for those big ones, but have asked for better transparency, closer relationships, forecasting together, et cetera. Now, comes a caveat, and that is, prices in the industry are being adapted out there by players, suppliers, et cetera. And clearly, we're part of an industry that is getting extra costs. And if we go into a model where you start to, have price increases to customers, clearly they're going to be incentivized, if you give them a period of time, to take even bigger orders up front and longer term. So there's many complex issues right now in our industry, and we're trying to do the very, very best for our customers in that environment and manage order rates and consistency in building the model. So I guess... in a nutshell, we will continue to do well in the ordering. At some point, yes, could there be some kind of a turn down? Not sure, because of demand. Demand is strong enough today, and the funding off into the future is so big that it could actually very well lead to a situation where we have a smooth transition as a company, and hopefully even as an industry going forward.
Let me add one more comment, Brian. Tim, about 75% of our order backlog, of our record order backlog, has a customer wish date of the first half of 2022. So it's not that customers are ordering, far into the next year or so. So the majority really has a solid wish date of, if we can deliver is a different question, but they want it as quickly as possible.
That's great color. Thanks very much.
We have no further questions, so I would like to hand back to you, Mr. Stephen Williams, for some closing remarks.
So I'll jump in for Stephen. You guys, I thank you for the nice questions. As you saw by the presentation, clearly, you know, ADFA as a company is doing quite well. We believe we'll continue to do, you know, well going forward. We do have a lot of challenges that we are addressing, and I think we continue to address. It is costing us a lot of energy and money, and therefore, the model is consistency right now. It's not, you know, growth and takeoff. It's growth and consistency. I believe that that's probably the case for most of the industry moving through the first half of this year. And I see that, you know, ADFA is well positioned to enter the marriage with ADTRAN, and together we're going to get a lot stronger. Thank you for your support. Fingers crossed that we get the last approvals from the government going forward. And if we do, I believe in a really strong, highly innovative, well-differentiated company going forward. So thank you for your time and interest and questions. I'm sure we will have another chance next quarter, but in the future, we might not be able to spend this intimate time with each other step by step, but should be hearing from us next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This conference has been concluded. You may disconnect.